introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
All right, we are back. Took a little bit of time off for the Masters. You know, Game of Thrones came up in here. Messed up our recording schedule just a little bit. Probably should have known better than to plan on recording on Masters Sunday and Game of Thrones premiere day anyway. So we are back on track. And wide receiver one, Miles Gorham, is back in here to give us that draft analysis that everyone loves oh so much. Miles, my man, how you doing? How you been?
Good, man. Glad we got to watch Game of Thrones last night in peace. It was a great episode. And I think some of my favorite parts is how the timeline is after Game of Thrones.
It really is.
All the memes, all the gifts and everything. It was comedy. Like, I know in our group chat, we were all going back and forth with our favorite ones. And it's just funny. Like, I was staying up all night, staying up watching and looking at the timeline, just seeing what I could find.
It was funny. Times like that is when, like, the internet is actually at its best. Like, Reddit and Twitter were on fire last night, and it was hilarious. Like, it just felt like everyone came together just to make one another laugh after that episode, and it was good times. And so we made the right decision to not record, but we're back at it. And, I figure we have you in here. You know, as I say, we generally have you come talk about the skill position players, and we're going to talk about something a little bit different, a position that has been, I guess, mocked a little bit more than one might expect in the earlier rounds for the Minnesota Vikings. And we're going to talk tight end. So tight end is one of those positions that I feel like it's really difficult for us to really get locked in on. And I think it's really difficult for the NFL as well to really get locked in on, you know, what they're looking for, who are going to be the best tight ends, because the best tight ends in the league seem to be really just drafted all over the place. Guys, you think when you look at their profile should go early, go late. Some other guys go earlier than you'd expect. And so, Miles, I guess from your perspective, when you are looking at this position, what are you looking at when you watch film, and how are you determining who you want your team to pick up at the tight end position?
Yeah, I mean, obviously for me, the biggest thing I'm really looking for, it's got to be the receiving ability. I mean, blocking's important. I think you should factor that in just in some equation. It's not like a receiver where I don't care how good of a blocker my receiver is. I mean, that's not what he's getting paid to do. I'm not saying all tight ends are, you know, there are plenty of tight ends in the NFL right now that are high-end tight ends that aren't really good at blocking. I just think it's about more of a willingness. I want my tight end to be willing to block, just because you'd like to be able to put them in line if you have to at times, just for various formations and stuff, just to switch up what the, you know, make the defense guess and kind of get the defense on their toes a little bit more. If you can do that with a tight end, that with a guy you can put in line, I just think that's a little bit more, provides a little bit more value and a little bit more creativity in your offense. But it's really, for me, the route running and the ability to create for themselves after the catch. And, you know, a lot of the similar things you look for in a receiver, you know, you want a mismatch guy. You want somebody that can, you know, go up above the rim and go get the ball. You know, I know the former basketball players are some of those guys that teams really value, because they know those are the guys that they know how to box out. They know how to use their bodies and their positioning extremely well. And that kind of athleticism, it just translates really well to the tight end position. You know, big, tall, bigger, tall or taller guys, you know, are usually the ones that you see doing that. But we've seen a lot more like tweeners nowadays, you know, the Evan Ingrams of the world. Jordan Reed kind of started that a little bit as of late. Those guys that are like, they're not quite as your prototypical 6'4", 6'5", 255, 260 pound tight end. That's like a mauler in the run game. They're more of these guys that are kind of that in between of a tight end and a receiver, but they run like receivers. There's a variation of a different type of tight end, but like I said, what I'm looking for is that guy that that can create. They can run good routes. They position their body extremely well. They can go up and attack and get the ball with their hands, and just has some ability to block in some capacity.
Oh, blocking! We can never escape it.
We can
never. We never ever escape it. But you know, it is.
It plays a role.
It plays a role. So I understand why it's something that we have to look at. And Yeah, as I said, this is one of the first years in a while that you've actually heard some rumblings, some rumors that the Vikings are really actually interested in taking a tight end before, you know, the last day of the draft. And, you know, as someone who's kind of looked at this a little bit from an analytical perspective, having a great tight end is almost a cheat code on offense. You know, you have a great tight end, it really opens up so much for your offense. It makes your quarterback play generally more efficiently than they do without a great tight end, just because of the mismatches that you called out there. So if we're looking to go and have the Vikings do this the way I think they should do it, if they're going to attack the position, who are the players that you like on the first day of the draft at the tight end position?
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about this group as a whole first, and then I'll get into the day, the rounds and everything like that. But I, as a whole, I think this tight end class is a good deep class. It's top heavy, though. I think you get into day one and day two. I think there's a lot of really good talent there. But I think once you start getting out of that day two range, there's not going to be as many guys that I think will have an impact. I think there are some talented tight ends on day three, but I don't think it's like years past where you could get into rounds four, five, and six and, you know, may potentially come away with a guy that can contribute. There are some guys in that, but I think some of the day three guys with the athletics upside, there aren't too many of those guys in this class for me. But like to your point, so starting on day one, to me, there are really only two tight ends in this class that are day one prospects for me. It's the two Iowa tight ends, their teammates, you know, Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson. Both guys are extremely athletic, willing blockers. I mean, Hockenson's a little bit more of that that guy that's a mauler in the run game. He's more of that, was asked more of that to be that inline tight end. Well, Noah Fant was kind of asked to be that joker tight end, which, I mean, you love that too. I mean, I don't think you could go wrong with either guy. I just think it's more of it depends on a team's preference of what they're looking for out of their tight end. So for me, I don't think you could go wrong with either one. Both guys can do a lot of things. I think if you're looking for that overall true athletic freak, that's Noah Fant. I mean, he's 6'4", 250, ran a 4.5 flat. His three cone was 6.81, which is pretty crazy for a guy his size. Jumped almost 40-inch vertical. And his bench press was all right, 20 reps at 225. And then one thing that he's a willing blocker on tape too, which is helpful. Like I said before, I just want a guy that's a willing blocker that doesn't have – he's not forced to be a guy that you don't care about in line or that's a liability in blocking. So I appreciate the fact that he is a willing blocker and he's not bad at it. Then there's TJ Hockenson, you know, 6'5", 250, ran a 4.7, which I think some people expected a little bit more from him in that capacity, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I think a 4.7 is just fine for him. He's more of that guy that he's got build up speed. His speed a little bit, he does a little bit better in that long speed than he does in that short area, but he's still explosive. I mean, he jumped 37.5 for a vert, ran basically a 7 flat 3 cone, didn't bench as well. I only a 17 on the at 225 at the combine, but his tape is extremely fun. He's kind of that do it all guy. He's that inline, you know, the Jason Witten types. You could say Zach Ertz in some capacity. I don't know if he's quite as athletic as Zach Ertz, but that's the kind of guy he is. And I think that's the kind of guy that he'd be used at the next level, which I don't think anybody would complain about. That's the kind of tight end you'd love to have on your team. So yeah, like I said, those are my top two guys for day one.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And, I guess those are your top two, and you kind of talked about them, you know, as a group kind of together flowing from one to the other. If you had to pick for your team, which one are you going with? Which one? Because it seems like personal preference. Some guys like the athleticism. Some guys like the all-around game. Which one are you going for if you're picking for the Vikings?
For the Vikings, I think it's Noah Fant. I just say that because they have guys on the team that can stay in line and block while allowing Noah Fant to be that joker tight end that can move around and do a little bit of everything, kind of like that Jordan Reed did and does in Washington.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right. So like you said, it's a top-heavy type of draft. First couple of days are good here. So we got number one. You gave us two.
Yeah.
What do we got going on day two here? Who are you looking at?
Yeah, day two. So I'll start. He's a guy. He's lacks quite a bit of production from a guy you'd like to from, you know, a day two pick or a an early contributor, but I think a lot of factors played into why he didn't contribute as much as you'd like. But Dawson Knox is one of those guys that I do like. I think his he shows quite a bit of athleticism on tape, which is a good thing. He didn't run a 40 at the combine, but his pro day, I think he ran in the 4.6s, if I'm not mistaken. Jumped, 35 inch vertical, 6'4", 250. So he checked some of those boxes that I'm sure a lot of teams, look for. Like I said, a little bit of a limited production, but he's worked his way up as a blocker from early on in his career. But he's an athletic guy that I think that can play above the rim and kind of be that red zone target, even though he was never given that opportunity in college. But I believe he has the skill set to do it. It's just about seeing the traits and making sure that that's something you believe he can do at the next level from not seeing it on tape in college. But he's a guy that I believe will be a day two pick and a guy that I think is – I'd have no problem taking, in the top, 75 picks or whatever. So I like him a lot from Ole Miss.
Wow. Big play tight end with very limited production. I feel like saying limited production might be putting it a little lightly there, but
it is because he really didn't do a lot. It is. I mean, you're really hoping for development, kind of he doesn't even have that much production, but like a George Kittle, you're kind of hoping you can develop him and get some of those athletic traits out of him to be more than what he was in college.
Okay, well, who else we got? We got anyone who with some production?
Well, I mean, I can talk about your guy, Cahale Waring.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about that.
San Diego State, Cahale Waring. I think I'm saying that right. Yeah, Jason, you don't even know, even when I was talking to you about him.
No. And if you're saying it wrong, I'm sure somebody will let you know on Twitter tomorrow.
I'm definitely sure somebody will say it wrong. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he had like his production was, out of this world. But, I mean, he was a guy that definitely did a lot more than Dawson Knox did, which is – Not trying to knock him for that, but Cahale Waring from San Diego State. So he tested athletically off the charts. One of the top guys at the combine. He got to play early on too. So I think that was a big thing for him. He got to contribute early on. I know you like to use Player Profile a lot, Jason. So like, his college dominator is a 19%. So like in the 60s percentile range, which is really good. Breakout age of 20, which is really good. You like to see that. And then his spark score and his athletic testing were off the charts. He ran a 4.67, 40, did really well in the agility, jumped extremely well. So you got to see a lot of that athleticism from a guy that's 6'5", 250. Arms aren't the longest, but I mean, whatever. I'm not too worried about it because of everything else that he's got going on for him. But he's a guy that – he's kind of more of that to me. His blocking needs some work, but he's a guy that you use as that athletic mismatch. That's that guy that you run down the seam on post and corner routes or deep crossing routes. So I like Cahale Waring. He'd be another guy on day two that I think could be a good fit for a lot of teams.
Oh my! And
like him a lot.
I'm noticing the absence of a name that I have heard floated around a lot. What's up with Irv? Is he a day two guy for you or?
Yes, yeah. Oh no, Irv's a day two guy for me. I think what surprised me the most about Irv Smith from Alabama is his testing. I think it was like he ran a good 40, but other than that, there really wasn't too much to be desired. He's came in at 6'2", 240, ran a 4.63 40, which you like to see. So there's that straight line speed, and you definitely see that on tape when you watch Irv. He's got that straight line speed and that playmaking ability to make guys miss in the open field. But his three cone and his vertical were not anything to write home about. His three cone was a 7.32, which, not not very good. And then his vert was a 32.5, which you'd like to see at least a 35+ from tight end. So that's kind of a little bit worrisome in that aspect of it. But he's that joker. He's that guy that, to me, he's a Jordan Reed type where you kind of keep him flexed out. But the nice part about him, though, is he's that guy. And at Alabama, I don't really think they're going to allow you to see the field if you're not going to be a blocker. So he's a good blocker. He's a good inline blocker as well. He's just not very big. So where I worry is him getting not manhandled, but getting bullied a little bit against some of these bigger, faster, stronger DNs in the NFL at the NFL level. So that's a little bit of my worry for him. But if you're going to use him as more of that Jordan Reed style, Travis Kelce type of receiver, receiving tight end, or Evan Ingram or whatever that is, I'd have no issue with that at all. I just don't know if I'd take him before, you know, pick 60, maybe pick 50 to 60. And I think the Vikings range in round two would have no problem with that. But he's not a guy for me I'd take on day one.
It makes sense. Makes sense. All right. So that rounds out day two for us here.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, man. We got more?
I got more. Like I said.
Boy, we got more. Okay. Day two is where Miles is putting in the work. Let's go.
Day two is if you're not getting Fant or Hockenson and you need a tight end, you better make sure you're going to day two. I know you know my guys, Josh Oliver from San Jose State. Big, physical, does need a lot of work in the run game and in blocking, but I mean, I don't really, like you said, who cares? Use him the way he should be used. He's 6'5", 250, ran a 4.6, 3.40. He only jumped 34, but I mean, he's got long arms. He's got really big hands. His hands are like over like 10 and a half inches or something like that. Something crazy. 10 and a fourth, I think it was, that he ended up measuring in at. Bench 22, 225 at 22 times. But he's a guy that I think he can be that, you know, he can line up inside in line and stretch the seam. And I think for a team like the Minnesota Vikings who need a guy that can stretch that seam, Josh Oliver is that perfect guy because he catches the ball away from his body. He can contort and kind of out-rebound guys for the ball. Has really good body positioning. Yeah, he's a guy for me that I really like. I don't think he'll go before day three – or not day three, round three, but I'd have no issue with taking him in round three by any means.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I'm coming around on your man Oliver a little bit. So, I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it. We got more?
Yeah, at least one more right now for me. Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M. He's a guy that I think originally when I first were starting to look into the tight ends for this season outside of the Fant Hockenson, he was the guy for me. He was that guy that I was like, I'd pound the table for him. And I still would. I think he's really good. He came in at 6'4", 250. He didn't test as well as I expected him to. His tape was really good. Like, he showed a lot of athleticism. He showed a lot of ability to breakaway speed and agility and making guys miss. But he only tested. He ran a 4.75, and he only jumped a 31.5-inch vertical. So some of those things that on tape you see some of that athleticism that shows up. It didn't show up in his testing. So it kind of made me a little bit skeptical of how I feel like it could translate, but at least on tape, it shows that he has the ability there. It's there. He does need work in blocking. He wasn't asked to do it a lot at Texas A&M just because of their system, but I think he's a guy that has the ability to do it and the willingness. But I like him a lot, and I really wouldn't be surprised if he was a top 50 pick. It would not surprise me if he was the third tight end taken in the draft this year.
Yeah, that's crazy. When you look at the production profile, you would think, like, especially like, you know, high yards per reception, right, you know, great dominator rating. And then you look at the athleticism, it just doesn't seem to fit. So yeah, that could, I guess maybe he'd be a value pick for someone. If people start to overvalue that testing a little bit, you might be able to get him on day three or something like that. So,
round three, day two.
And sure. Yeah. Okay. So bring us home. I know you don't like the back end of this draft all that much, but who you got on day three? If you're taking a flyer on a tight end, as the Vikings have been known to do,
yeah.
I guess who should they be looking at on day three?
Yeah, for me, I think Dax Raymond is one of those guys that from Utah State. He's one of those guys that I feel like you could take a chance on day three, and you might come away with a guy that's a starter. He's 6'5", 255, ran a 4.73. Three cone was okay, 7.15, 32-inch vertical, but his tape was fun. I actually kind of liked his tape quite a bit. He showed a lot of athleticism. He really was one of the only weapons on that offense, but he could do a little bit of everything, and he can go get the ball. I think his blocking is to be desired, but I think that's there, like there's an ability there. But I think there's some upside there that I think, you know, if you start him off as a tight end two or three, I think you might be able to get some return on that on if you were to take him in like round four or five.
Okay. What else you got, man?
Yeah. I know Trevon Wesco. He's the biggest tight end in the draft class, but he's not unathletic. 6'3", 267, ran a 4.89, so nothing like too crazy in terms of what you'd like from your tight end, but he's a mauler in the run game and blocking. I mean, he's that tight end that you know that's gonna hold his own. But at the same time, he didn't his three cone was a 7.18. That's pretty good for a guy his size. He shows it on tape too. He didn't get as many opportunities as you'd probably like to see from a tight end in a pass happy offense. But I mean, they had some other guys out there too in West Virginia that took away some of those that production from him. But he's an athletic guy. I mean, don't let his size fool you. He's one of those guys that you hate that word, that sneaky fast, you know, sneaky athletic. But like that's kind of what he is, because you look at him and he looks like a bowling ball in some ways. Like he looks kind of like an H-back too. But he's an inline tight end that I think, you know, a team like New England, I could see New England just getting the most out of that guy. And you wouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, he's a guy that I think could turn into a contributor. He could be like a tight end too for a team.
Okay. Trevon Wesco feels like a made up name.
It kind of does, right?
Feels like a made up name. Like someone's created player, but I'm sorry. I digress. Go ahead.
I'll give you three more. So Foster Moreau from LSU. He did test athletically well. He'd be one of those high upside athletic guys that I'd take on day three. I don't see him going on day two. I just think that there's just too much talent there to be had on day two, before you take a chance on a guy like Foster Moreau. But 6'4", 250, ran a 4.66, jumped 36.5, and he had a 22 on the bench, on 225 on the bench. So he can do a little bit of everything. I'm just not sure how high his upside is. Really good, like I said, really good in the run game and a blocking. There is some of that upside, athletic upside, but I don't know if I see him being anything more than a tight end too. But I do like some of the ability he has. Let's see here. Next guy would be Donald Parham. I know he was at the Senior Bowl, but he ended up getting hurt. But he's just an athletic freak. He didn't get the test of the combine either. But you know, you see that athleticism. He's super lanky though. He's literally that, like, don't put him in line type of tight end, because you know he's not going to be able to hold his own against a defensive end at the NFL level. But he's that guy that you could put in be a big slot receiver and let him work the middle of the field and be a mismatch against linebackers and safety. So I like some of that that athletic upside. And then the last two for me, there's a lot of names. Drew Sample from Washington. He's a guy that I kind of like. His upside, I like his athletic ability. Didn't test the greatest, but I think there's some upside there. Who in another pass happy offense, I thought he did a little bit of everything for Washington, especially even with the weapons they had around him and with a terrible quarterback. I do like some of the things he can do, and he does a really good job of recognizing coverages. Alizé Mack from Notre Dame is another guy that I think he's got some of the high upside, athletic upside. Caleb Wilson from UCLA, another guy. He's got straight line speed, but he's not really, there's not really too much else to his game, in my opinion. Tommy Sweeney from Boston College, he's a little bit of a do everything tight end, but with limited athleticism. And then Caden Smith, he really is a guy for me that I think teams are probably going to draft a little higher than I'd probably take him. But he's that. I'm not even trying to say this in a negative way, but he's kind of got that Kyle Rudolph to his game. He's not really very athletic in terms of athletic testing. I think he ran in the 4.9s. But he's a similar size and has long arms. I think he's a former basketball player too. But he's a guy that does catch the ball away from his body extremely well. Has really good hands, and he can go up and get the ball. But my biggest issue with him is really his separation ability and his route running. There really isn't much to be desired there. So yeah, those are all the names I kind of just rattled off pretty quickly there. But Those would be a lot of the names that I think on day three. There are some opportunity there for guys that could be contributors, but overall, I think to me, if you're not taking a guy before day three, you're kind of making a mistake. If you're looking for high upside, in my opinion.
So for someone who said he didn't really like the last day of tight ends in this draft class, you certainly did give me a very extensive list. And
there are a lot of names. Maybe I should have stretched that to like round four. Because there are a lot of names with a lot of guys with opportunities. I think that if put on the right team, right situation, there are some guys that could be some, you know, contributors. I really would only say, like, to me, Dax Raymond, Drew Sample, and maybe Foster Moreau have a chance to have some of that opportunity at the next level.
I mean, Foster Moreau's athletic profile is certainly intriguing.
Yeah, and I think that's
the question as to, it's like the opposite of your man Jay Sternberger, where, you know, got all the athleticism but none of the production, and
right.
Sternberger's got all the production but none of the athleticism. It exactly. Makes you wonder, like, what's going on here? Why don't those things match up? But as always, Miles, you came through, you did your thing. You always end up going a little deeper down the rabbit hole than you intend to when you get started. And I love it because you love this, and you can't help yourself. You really can't.
I can't. You're right.
So it makes for good stuff here. But I know you have a soccer game to get to. And yeah, you've given us more than enough. I need to go through and look up some of these people whose names you said that I'd never heard before. And yeah, that's it. That's all. Listeners, we are back at it. Another episode coming at you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to us. Miles, thanks for coming on and recording. Score a couple goals.
No doubt.
All right, man. Have a good one.